Bible. So this, we're going to start off again. We're going to start off in the book of Ephesians, all right? And then we're not, I'm not going to make any promises tonight, okay? I'm not about time, all right? But let's start off in Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians, all right? We're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. And then we're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, all right? So we're going to start off here in Ephesians chapter 2. All right, and then we're just going to look at some things here in Ephesians. I think good things. I think some wonderful, amazing things here in Ephesians chapter 2. All right, join me here in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. Amen. That word quickened brought back to life. You were dead, but then God brought you back to life. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. Okay, let's do it again. I know it's evening, okay? Come on. All right, I'm the one preaching all day, so come on. All right? Come on. I am so thankful if you are thankful that you're saved. I think we can praise God for that. Because, come on, there was a time, just like Scripture is saying here, wherein in time past. I'm so thankful we no longer live in the past. I'm so thankful that He brings us from the past. I'm so thankful because I do remember as a kid, lost in sin. I do remember when my sins were overwhelming. But then I love it. Come on, let's just read Scripture. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You lived like the world. You thought like the world. According to the prince of the power of the air. Meaning the devil had dominion. He was there. That worketh now in the children of disobedience. There's people that are unsaved living in disobedience. Disobedience to God's command. Disobedience to His truth. I come back to you, America, and you look at all this craziness that's going on with this transgender stuff, with all of these crazy things. Come on, disobedience. Disobedience to God's word. And what Scripture is saying here, you used to live in that world. You used to be a part of that world. Okay, it's just going to get gooder, all right? It's going to get gooder. All right, stay with me. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversations in time past, in the lust of the flesh. You were just doing what your body wanted to do. You were a slave to the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, wherein by nature the children are of wrath, even as others. So you live like the world, you acted like the world, and you did whatever the world wanted to do. You watched whatever the world wanted to watch. And now listen, there's a sad, there's a cause and effect. There's consequences for sin. Because, yes, we know that if we live in sin, and if we continue in sin, and we reject Jesus Christ, yes, there's hell that's prepared, that's waiting. But on top of that, there's the consequences that come because of sin. You can't live your whole life smoking and expect there to be no consequences. You can't live your whole life drinking and expect to be no consequences. And so here, the Scripture, Paul is saying something so good to the Christian. He's reminding the Christian. I think it's good. Come on. We need to be reminded sometimes. I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we need to live in sin and dwell on the past. I'm not saying that. No. But I think there's some times when we need to appreciate, that's the word, appreciate what God has done for us. Amen. Because look what Scripture's saying. He hath quickened you. You were dead. You were dead. Your soul was dead. You were in sin, living and acting and thinking and doing whatever the world does. And then look at the next verse. I love this verse. Such a good verse. I think I've been saying that all day, but I don't care. All right? Look at verse 4. But God. Come on, Christian, come on. Let's get excited about something, all right? I know the Seattle Seahawks didn't win the Super Bowl, all right? But come on, stay with me. All right? Let's think about this. You are living in sin. You are following sin, and you are on your way to the devil's hell. You are living with the consequences, the anxiety, the depression, all of those evil things that come with sin. Right. But here it comes. Get ready. But God, who is rich in mercy, meaning he has enough for me and all that I need, and he has enough for you and all that you need, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, wow. He's giving us that mercy. Why? Because he loves us. Just dwell upon that thought for a second. God loves you. Yes, he saved you from sin. Well, why would he save me from sin? Why would he show me mercy? Why? Because he loves you. Then look at the next part. But God, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Wow. Oh, that's good. And then we know this amazing verse here. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Think about that for a second, Christian. Dwell upon that thought for a second. Come on. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't. We can try, but we're going to fail. We can try to be good for one day, but it's not going to happen. And then think about this. I think we all understand this. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his goodness. We don't deserve his mercy. And then look what it's saying. For by grace, the grace of God. Think about the amazing grace of God. Wow. Ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There in Uganda, I struggle with some of the religious leaders there in the community. They say, you Baptist, and I love the way they say that, you Baptist. What, me Baptist? Yeah, you Baptist. They say, you believe in grace through salvation, or faith, for grace are you saved through faith. That's what you believe. You believe that Jesus Christ saved you, and then you're saved, once saved, always saved, right? That's what you believe. Yeah, what's wrong with that? That's what the Bible says. And they say, well, you're people then. That means that you can just be saved and then you just live in sin however you want. Well, Scripture says, God forbid. That's not how it is. Because there's an understanding. See, we are not working and living and acting like Christians to gain salvation. No. No, there's a... really, a sad mindset that comes in many churches. There, even in some Baptist churches. Okay, if I act good, if I dress right, if I listen to the right music, if I do all these things, da-da-da-da-da, then God will be happy with me. But that's not it. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not our motivation. No, let's look at this. Look at the next part. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No amount of work that you could ever do could save your soul. I tell the people, can you imagine going to the river there in Uganda, that Nwamba River? You saw it in the video. Can you imagine going every day to that river and taking a little hammer and trying to break those rocks, spending all your time trying to break those rocks? Will you ever accomplish getting rid of all of that? They're like, no, we can't. So how dare we think we can work for salvation? How dare we think that if I'm good enough, if I act well enough, that maybe God would show love and God would forgive me. Again, it's not about our works. Because we don't deserve it. For someone to be saved, they need to come to the understanding. I can't work for salvation. I need you, Lord, to save me. Please, God, forgive me. Save me. There's an understanding. And then, look at this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He saved us, not so that we can just be ourselves, but no, he saved us because he has a purpose for us. We are his workmanship. He is working in our lives. He has a purpose for us so that we can do works. Why? Look what it says. Look what it says. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He saved us. He created us. He's working through us ultimately so he can get glory through us. See, I want us to get this, all right? We need to understand this. Salvation, again, is not by works. It is only by putting our faith, our trust, our understanding, our hope, everything in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then the Christian, we've moved forward in our Christian life, not out of religion, not out of ceremony, not out of trying to gain something from God, but out of an appreciation, out of gratefulness. All right. All right. I haven't started preaching yet. Okay. I haven't started yet. All right. Now go with me to Deuteronomy. Go with me to Deuteronomy. My girls love that joke. That's such a preacher's joke, right? All right, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Join with me here on verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I didn't tell you the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 10. So as you're finding your place, so here in this passage, in chapter 9, you had Moses. God commands Moses to write the second tablet because, again, if you read in chapter 9, the funny story, the people, Moses is there, is on the mountain of Mount Sinai. He's learning from God. He's spending time with God. And then there in the valley, there is Aaron. Doing evil, the people are dancing, and they're worshiping a golden calf. And then you know the story. He gets angry, breaks it, and then God speaks to Moses. And then years pass, and then Moses is again speaking to God. He's back up there. And then we get to verse 10. Look with me at verse 10. Deuteronomy 10, verse 10. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me at this time also. And the Lord would not destroy thee. Don't lose those two words. Would not destroy thee. They deserved to be destroyed. Why? Because they were worshiping a false god. Think about all that God was doing for them. He brought them out of the Red Sea, from the Red Sea. He brought them from Egypt. He brought them through all of that. And then they wandered in the wilderness. And then on top of that, he provided manna for them. Come on, Christian, think about all the things that God has done for you. Yes, he gave us salvation, and praise God for salvation. And if that's all he gave us, praise God. Come on, come on. If all he gave you was salvation, that's more than enough for us. But think about all the extra blessings and the wonderful blessings that he gave you. He gave you eternal life. He gave you mercy. He gave you grace. He has sustained you. He has provided for you. I'm so thankful to be married. I have a wonderful wife and four beautiful girls. Talk about blessings. Talk about all of these things that God has done for you, has done for me. I think Christians, there's times we just need to reevaluate and just stop and look at the blessings God has given us. Sometimes we're in that, when we're in the middle of our complaining and whining, and when we're upset about things, I think it's good to take out that list and say, wow, look what God has done for me. Look at how God has provided for me. And so here, God is talking to Moses, and then Moses pleads before God, please, God, don't destroy them. Yes, they deserve to be destroyed, but please have mercy. And then look at verse 11. And the Lord God said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Whoa, 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 did you catch that? Look at this. They're right about, you know the story. So Moses, again, because of his sin, because of what happened, God doesn't allow him to go. And the older generation, they're not allowed to go into the promised land. And so, but still, again, we serve a good God. But still, God is telling them, the younger generation, I still want them to go on. I still want them to go to the promised land. Okay, look at this. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve the blessings of the promised land. They don't deserve the goodness. And think about it. When they get to the promised land, a milk flowing with milk and honey, the grapes, the protection. I love the book of Joshua. If you have time, read the book of Joshua. It is such a good book. The battles that were fought, the victories that God gave them. They don't deserve any of it because of their sin. And here God is saying to them, okay, here, you don't deserve it, but I am showing you mercy. I am showing you grace. You don't deserve it, but because I love you, because, again, you can't earn this, you can't work for it, but I gave it to you because I love you, I'm showing mercy, I'm going to allow you to go into the promised land. And then look at the next part. And now, verse 12, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Okay, now I know some commentaries, they'll take this thing, they'll take this passage, and then what they'll do is they'll try to twist it. I'll say it that way. And I've read this. They'll say, okay, before the people of Israel could have the promises, could have the blessings, could have the provision of the promised land, they had to do what God required. But that's not what the scripture is saying. Yes, God has requirements, and God does have requirements for the Christian. But look what he's saying. Let's connect this. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? We just need a country. We need Christians that would just respect the Lord. Can I say that? Is that okay? Am I safe to say that? We just need some Christians. We need a country. And I think we could all agree. Most of our politicians, they don't respect the Lord. Most of our leaders don't respect the Lord. Our schools don't respect the Lord. But here's an even more poignant question. Do you respect the Lord? I could go all day long against politicians. I could go all day long about the people in charge. But really, we need to deal with the matter at hand. Am I respecting the Lord? The things that I watch, does it respect the Lord? The music that I listen to, does it respect the Lord? The money that I, the effort, the time, everything, is it respecting the Lord? Look what God is saying. But to fear the Lord thy God. Next part. To walk in all his ways. I think it's so good when a Christian lives like a Christian. That's what we need. Christians living like Christians. Now, please understand, I'm not talking about mean, pious, angry people. No, Christians should be loving, compassionate people. Amen? Because look at our Savior, Jesus Christ, the love he showed to the Samaritan woman. Look at the love he showed to people that spit upon him. And he says, God, please have mercy upon them. I believe a Christian, a Christ follower, should be living and acting like a Christian. Look at the next part. And to love him. Oh, that's good. It just got gooder, all right? Look at this. And to love him. It's so good when I see young people, and I mean this, truly, I mean this. When there is young people and they tell me, I want to be a missionary. Because I could see there's a love they have for the things of God. And I love, and I like to meet families, and you could just, as they talk, and as you see it in their home, and as you see it just with their families, you could tell this family has a love for God. And I think the world should identify that in us. They should be able to point that out in our lives. Wow, you love God. Not, oh, he's a fanatic. Oh, he's crazy. Oh, all these things. And I know they call us that. But that person loves God. He prays before he eats, even in public. That person, that teenager invites other teenagers to church and school. That person's willing to door knock. I think the world should see that characteristic in our lives, that we love God. The next part. And to serve the Lord thy God. Here, look at this. With all thy heart and with all thy soul. If you have to vacuum, do it with all your heart and with all your soul. If you have to work in the nursery, I am so thankful for nursery workers, truly. Because without them, the world would not turn. I'll just say that. And I'm so thankful, truly, when I go and I see people working in a ministry, even if it might seem mundane or not the biggest highlighted thing, but they're serving there. And I like this, when they're serving with the smile on their face. Like it's the best job in the world. Look at the next part. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Look at the next part. For thy good. He says, I have these commandments. I have these things for you. Why? They're for your good. Yes, we need to obey, but really, they're to bless you. Next part. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of the heavens is the Lord's, thy God. And the earth also, with all that is therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this days. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is, here it is, for the Lord your God is God of gods. And the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Wow. You got to see this. So here God is telling Israel. Israel, I have blessings for you. You don't deserve it. You can't obtain it. And you can work for it, but you don't deserve it. There's mercy, there's grace there. But now that I've given it to you, now that you have it, there is requirements that are with it. Now, please understand. I'm not saying if you live in sin that you're going to lose salvation. No, that's not what Scripture teaches us. Once saved, always saved. Amen? And even, praise God, even when we sin and when we fall, we're still children of God. And we serve a loving God who's willing to forgive us and to pick us up. And so here God is telling Israel, Israel, you need to understand something. I have chosen you. I have prepared you. I have blessed you. I have given you protection. Why? So that you can be the people. So that you can serve me. And so that the world around you could see there's a difference in you. So that the world around you could see, wow, there is something different with the Israelites. They love God. They're walking in his ways. They are respecting him. They love him. They are keeping his commandments. And so God wasn't saying, okay, do these requirements and then I'll give you the land. No, he's saying, I gave you the land and now I want you to walk worthy of it. Just like we see in Philippians, to work out your salvation. Because again, we need to understand something, Christians. Come on, stay with me. We can't earn salvation. We can't. There's nothing that we can do. But praise God, now that I have it, now that I got it, I'm not going to live like a Christian to gain it or to keep it. No, I'm going to walk as a Christian so that others can see Christ in me. And so that God can be glorified. And so that God and others and can see that how God is working in my life. So God is telling Israel, I've given you the land. You don't deserve it. Just like we see in parallel in Ephesians. He hath quickened you. You don't deserve it. You were living in sin. But now that you have salvation, you need to live a life that shows that you appreciate what you have. Amen. Can I tell you, Originally, I wasn't planning on preaching this. I wasn't. This is something that was working, and I was, in fact, it was in my devotions, and I've been studying this. But today, I just couldn't get away from this truth. There's so many times as Christians where we fall into this trap. We do. We fall into this trap thinking, okay, if I just do good, if I just live like a Christian, I act like a Christian, then God will have favor on me. No, Christian, you are favored. He does love you. He cares about you. He loves you. And we're not to be living this Christian life, because really when we do that, when we're trying to put all this on us, trying to live right, trying to do right, can I tell you, it becomes a religion. It becomes restrictive. That's not what God intended. He didn't want the children of Israel to be so focused on, like they did, so focused on keeping all of these commandments that their relationship with God becomes askew. That's not what he wanted. He wanted them to have a relationship with him. God wants a relationship with you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he died on the cross, that he gave his blood, that he rose again the third day for you. And he wants you, and it's required of thee, meaning it's demanded of you. It's almost implied, like you have to live and act like a Christian, loving him, serving him, following him, obeying him, really being faithful to him. There in Uganda. There's a man. His name is Aloysius. Aloysius. I mentioned him a little bit in the morning. He's 68 years old, and Aloysius, I love him. I do. He's such a good man. So it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm driving up the hill going to Kalembe, and because I had an appointment, some young men, they asked me to come. They said, we want you to preach. Can you please come? And I said, okay, let's do it. 10 o'clock. I'm driving up the mountain, and I had my appointment set. And it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and here comes Mose Aloysius. Now, the word Mose, it's a term they use there in Uganda as a respectable elder in the community. And so they call you a Mose if you're a respectable elder in the community. At the time, you couldn't call Aloysius a Mose because it was 10 o'clock and he was drinking. And he was drunk, staggering around on the sidewalks. And so I'm driving up the road, 10 o'clock in the morning, and here comes Aloysius. And I waved at him. And I waved at him. Because I think it's good as Christians that we greet people. And we are approachable. Amen? We should be kind. I don't think we should be the type of Christian that pushes people away. And so here is Aloysius. I waved at him. He looked at me funny. He was kind of shocked that I waved at him. And then so I get to my appointment, and it was a little bit of a drive. I'm there. I'm preaching to the young men. And then here comes Aloysius. He found me. He tracked me down and found where I was. And while I'm preaching to these young men, he says, "Mzungu. Mzungu, why are you waving at me?" Mzungu, you can translate it to to a white person. That's what it is. It's okay to laugh. I laugh at it, all right? And that's what I identify as, right? And so he says, "Mzungu, why are you waving at me?" And I said, "Okay, just hold on. Let me finish with them, and then I'll talk to you." So I finish, I go, and I sit down with him. I explain who I am. I'm a missionary. I'm telling people about Jesus. And then he says, "Okay, save me. I want to be saved." I said, Let's do this. You come to church on Sunday, but I don't want you to take any alcohol. I want you to be sober-minded and come to church on Sunday." I didn't think he was going to come. I really didn't think he was going to be there, but he came. In fact, he was early on Sunday, and I was late, but he was early, and he was there, and he came faithfully for 2 months. He was early, he had questions, and he would sit there and we would talk. And after 2 months, he finally came to me with tears in his eyes. He said, "I understand. I have a sin debt that I can't pay. I have a debt because of all the years of my wasted living. I've sinned and I deserve hell. And Pastor, I finally understand. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior." And then I got to sit with this elderly man for the first time, and I got to show him from the Bible how to be saved. Amen. And he got saved. And now he's like my right-hand man in the ministry. He really is. He leads the singing once in a while. He teaches on Thursdays. I had the privilege of discipling him. I got to baptize him. And he's such a wonderful blessing. And I could see this. I could see this. Truly, I could see this. I could see this progression in his life. He gets saved. He knows what he was saved out of. He knows what he came from. And I can tell you, he doesn't want to go back there. He doesn't want to live in that sin. He doesn't want to live with that. It's sad because Christians, we shouldn't be content with this world. We shouldn't, like it says on your sign, we shouldn't condone what God has condemned. We shouldn't be okay with the sin that's going on. We can't. And I love it because Mosaic Lotius, now the community, they say, "You're a Mosaic, we respect you." And I love it because how God changes people. How God changes us. Because when God begins to work in our life, look at this. When we appreciate and we're grateful for what God has done with for us, and if we're loving Him, and if we're walking in His ways, and we're keeping His commands, we are obeying God's word, we're showing love to Him and to others. Can I tell you, people will take notice of it. The world will see a difference. The world will see, wow, something is different. Because people are seeking truth. And then when we go to them and we give them the gospel and when we tell them about Jesus Christ, they're going to see, wow, what they're saying, I could see them living it. I can see that they actually mean what they're saying. But how sad is it, Christian, when we fall into that trap, when we think we can just live and act however we want, and then we go to give someone the gospel, and they say, "You're just like everybody else. Why should we listen to you? You cuss just like the rest of us. You do everything just like the rest of us." Do you see the difference here? So God was commanding Israel, "Israel, I have a plan for you. I have these things that I've given to you because I have promised you." And then on top of that, God just comes out and says it. And I love the way God says it. Because He's God. Because He's God of gods. He's God, folks. Come on. Why should I act like a Christian? Teenagers, come on. Teenagers, stay with me. Come on. Get out of your hibernation. Come on, stay with me, all right? Why should I act like a Christian? Why should I live like a Christian? Why should I not listen to the world's music? Why should I not talk the way the world talks? Because He's God. Because He's God, He's holy, and He demands His people to be separate. He demands His people to follow and obey Him. We don't do it out of piousness. We don't do it out of anger. No, we do it so the world can see Christ in us. Come on, Christian, this is so good. What God is saying and what He's saying to His people. You, He hath quickened you. You were dead. But now He has given you life. And now you don't live like the world anymore. Now you live like a Christian. Now God begins to work in your life. Can I just encourage you with this? Can I just encourage you? Your God loves you. He loves you so much. And when I look at Alosius, others in the community have given up on him. They did. They wrote him off. But now that he's saved, now that he's walking and acting and living like a Christian, people take notice and they say, wow. In fact, his wife came to me one day, and if she's not saved yet, pray for her. She said, "What medicine did you give him?" And I said, "I didn't give him any medicine. I gave him truth. I gave him Jesus." Well, I guess it is a good remedy, right? For sin, right? The world should take notice. the world should. Why? We're not doing it, again, out of religion. We're not doing it to gain from God. No, we're doing it because God has already given us so much. If you want to make missions, you want to make this missions minded, let's do it. Why should I give to missions? Well, God's given you so much. Well, why should I tell my loved ones? Why should I evangelize? Why should I care? Because God gave you salvation. He's given you so much. We serve a great and wonderful God, the God of gods. We don't serve a fake idol. We don't serve a statue. No, we serve God Almighty, the Lord of Lords. The Redeemer, the lover of my soul, the Counselor. He's wonderful. He's mighty. We serve God. Get this. He loves you. Let us pray.